Happy Sunday, everyone, and welcome in to the Sit Rep. I'm your host, Austin. Guys, there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on here at home that we need to talk about. There's stuff going on in the world that we're going to talk about. I mean, not necessarily more important. You guys know how this works. If you've listened to Sunday Sit Rep before, we get into some stuff. We talk about some stuff. I share my thoughts and feelings. We kind of dig into impacts, future predictions, share some information, you know, get the good word out there. And there's a lot right now, you know. If you guys hear my voice, I apologize. It is that time of year officially. I guess October is the month where my body gives me the middle finger, and I get very congested as the weather swings back and forth. Because I think yesterday our high was like 64, 63, something like that. And today it jumped up to like 77, which is, awesome, I guess, for October to be almost 80 degrees. My body does not react quickly or kindly to it. And I know Josh knows what I'm talking about because we both suffer from a similar affliction in that regard. It sucks. It is what it is, but I'm going to power through for you guys. There's some things I really, really want to talk about. Obviously, Hurricane Helene that has hit the southeast coast of the United States, North Carolina especially being hit hard. There's a number of things we're going to get into when we talk about how this tragedy, this emergency, this crisis, right? Crisis was the word that I was looking for. It is being handled, right, by our government. President Biden came out, had some comments, things like that. And there's also the thought, and not even the thought, but the prediction that a second Hurricane Milton is off the coast building and could potentially hit that same region, that same area of the United States again. And that could be catastrophic when you look at the damage that's already been done, the loss of life, the loss of homes, and damage to infrastructure. It could be really, really bad, you know, given, of course, that there's certain things we can't do anything about, and we can do some things to help. And right now, our government's not really doing a lot because, you know, as we all do from time to time, you made some poor choices in the past, which now lead to some consequences. Not consequences for them, right? Our government, they're not the ones suffering the consequences because they're not dealing with it. They're overly paid and well-insulated from things like hurricanes and storms and whatnot. So, fine for them. Hooray for our elected leadership and, you know, poo-poo on the rest of us. And that's nothing new, right? We talk about that all the time. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into, the anniversary of the October 7th massacre with Israel. As that is tomorrow. You know, I'm recording this Sunday morning. I have my coffee here. Nothing special. No black rifle. No blackout coffee. Well, if any of you guys are listening to this, you want to send me some coffee, that'd be sweet. We're going to get into all of it as we do here. Before I get into this discussion this week, we are a sponsored podcast. You guys have been listening for a while. You know that. And we have some really great partners I'm going to tell you about. They're great companies with some great folks that are just tremendous to spend money with. If you are in need of some gear, you want to support some, you know, American businesses that make a damn fine product, these are some great places to start. So with that, we're going to start with our friends over at, guys, we're going to start with Custom Night Vision. The website is customnightvision.com. It is your one-stop shop for almost everything night vision related. So you get to customnightvision.com on the landing page. First thing you're going to see is a great photo. And then there's two buttons. If you want to go build a monocular device, mono meaning monocular, right? Mono, one tube, or binocular meaning two tubes, right? So single tube or dual tube units. They have a really, really cool process where you can, you know, use a drop down menu. You can pick whatever housing that you want. So whether it's, you know, you don't know a lot, you know, the PVS-14 is what everybody starts with, so you're going to get that. Or maybe you're getting into dual tubes, you want something super rugged like some RNVGAs from AB Night Vision or the new MH1 from Light Innovations. That's what I'm running right now. It's fantastic. I think LLI knocked it out of the park with this. But either way, you can select your housing, you can pick whatever tubes you want. Really, they have a ton in stock. So whether it's you know, Photonis tubes with green phosphor or white phosphor or super gain or, you know, whatever commercial spec. They have some commercial spec green Photonis tubes in if you're looking to save a buck. You can look into Elbit tubes. You can look into L3. And again, you guys, green phosphor, white phosphor. You can pick through all the different options that they have available on the website. You can look through all the stats. You can evaluate and compare all the different numbers. Or if you just want the guys at Custom to do a just hand-picked deal for you, give me the best tubes available. You're going to pay a little bit more money, but you're going to make sure that you get the best ones they have available at that time, with no blems, no issues, no problems, right? And you're going to have those thrown into this housing that you're putting together. You can also select your optics that you want, so PVS-14 style optics, things like that. And you can literally, from the ground up, build your own night vision unit. And if you have any questions, they have a chat function that is built into the website. It couldn't be easier. It's a tremendous experience, you guys, and night vision is absolutely freaking awesome. Again, it's customnightvision.com. Head over to their website and check it out for yourself today. Jesus, I am suffering today. We're going to make it through this, though, guys. I want to also say thank you to our good friends over at 100 Concepts, you guys. It's 100concepts.com. And I actually got to catch up with Jonah at the HTA Range Day event. They have a lot of new products coming. I think when I talked to him actually on the phone prior to the event, he said there was something like every couple of weeks from now until the end of the year, they're going to be working on releasing a new product. So whether that's in addition to their already very impressive hex cap lineup for anti-reflective devices, it's a modification to an existing product, kind of where they took their light caps and now they have the ruggedized night caps, because they actually did this. It's crazy, guys. They listened to you when people, the end users out there buying and using this product, when you guys gave input, they listened. So they made them more durable. They made them quieter. Or they have some actual just brand new products, like their night vision cap. I believe it's called the night cap, is coming out soon. It's a little bit of a detour from their plan with the cap they released last year, but that's okay. Great, great product and a fantastic group of guys. Again, you know, their website, it's 100concepts.com. Tremendous, tremendous folks over there doing some really, really outstanding work. Okay. And, geez, last but not least here, I want to say a very big thank you to our friends over at RMA Armor. The website is armadefense.com, and they hooked everybody up. Discount code PREPAREDMINDSET5. It's going to save you 5% off your order when you head over to the site and pick up some plates for yourself. Whether that happens to be some of the level 4 plates that they have in stock and have on sale quite frequently, because you want the highest level of protection that you can get. You're a strong guy, you're a total stud, right? So, you know, 7-8 pound plates, maximum protection, you ain't worried about it, right? Or alternatively, if you are a smaller person, you want to save your back, maybe a little bit older, or you're buying plates for your wife, they have options for that as well. So whether it's the level 3A plus special threat plates, like what I run, 2.5 pounds a piece, super comfortable, multi-curve, could not be better, right? Or their female cut plates to account for some of the physical features that we as men maybe don't have to worry about with armor plates. Again, it's armadefense.com. Discount code is PREPAREDMINDSET5. It's going to save you guys a couple bucks, and you're going to buy some great American-made armor to protect you and your loved ones. Okay, guys. Man, this is going to be tough, but we're going to get into it. And I guess we'll start with October 7th. You know, it's tomorrow. It is a year already, believe it or not, since the massacre and what basically kicked off this war. I mean, I'll use the term war, right, between Israel and Hamas, right, over in that part of the world, right? And man, I mean, a year. Think about that. We hear about, and here's why this feels so weird or so impactful, so important, is we haven't stopped hearing about this. And I'm not saying that like it's a nuisance thing, but we haven't stopped hearing about it. It has been a constantly developing story. It has been a constantly developing problem on that side of the globe. And Israel has been a partner country of the United States for many, many years, right? And you know, I did not ever hear any news. We would have heard of this, I'm sure of it, of any of the hostages being released. Now, there's Americans that are among those hostages that have been held. And I remember when this all broke out a year ago, our our president, right, Joe Biden, comes out and says, you know, we will not rest. We will not sleep one night or something, whatever, until those people, those Americans are home safely. And that's a lie. That's a lie, guys. That's not the case. That's not what happened. We've done very little that I'm aware of. I know we're sending money. We sent more money to Ukraine. I think it was maybe a month ago or something. What's his name? The freaking president of the Ukraine, Zelensky, excuse me, was here in Pennsylvania touring an ammo manufacturing plant because that's what they need. They need more of our money and more of our ammo. And the more of our ammo we send over there makes ammo here for Americans more expensive, which is ridiculous. Some might even say it's retarded. Side note, went to go see a stand-up comedian, Tom Segura, last night. Took my dad for his birthday, and he's had a really great little bit there about how we should put the word retarded back into our vocabulary. But I digress. We sent $12 billion to Ukraine to continue fighting this war, which has been going on. Honestly, it's weird the way I think it's kind of coincided with the entire Biden administration. And that was supposed to be a short war. We were supposed to just help the people of Ukraine. And now Ukraine didn't just win back their land. They were actually, they've been pushing into Russia, which is weird if it's just a defensive action. And the money that we're sending over there, right, is just supposed to be humanitarian aid or military aid to help them reinforce and protect their borders and, maintain their own status as their own individual nation, which I'm not trying to poo-poo on that idea. Certainly, we do the same thing with Taiwan with regards to China, right? It's the same sort of situation. However, Taiwan is not interested in trying to invade mainland China. I think it's absolutely disingenuous for Ukraine to push forces into Russia. Like, repel invaders, right? Fight the good fight. Save your country. Protect your families. Like, that's all well and good. We have spent so much money. So much money on Ukraine, and we could spend hours talking about it, but it's been getting back to the point, right? It's been a year. October 7th, we haven't stopped talking about it. It's been omnipresent in all of the news cycles, right? There's always things going on. There's bombings. What we've seen here in the United States, right, is because of that, ironically, and these terrorist organizations that like attacked Israel and, you know, Israel as the standing government there. And you can say what you want. You can have your opinion about it. There's a civilized way to handle these matters. Guerrilla warfare is almost never the civilized way to do anything. But since this has happened, we have these protests here in the United States. People are out in the streets with flags. They're attacking folks. There's videos. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. There's videos all over social media, right? We're seeing people getting attacked in the streets. We're seeing American flags burned. Ironically, in support of one of these protests, there was an American flag burned outside the Democratic National Convention of all places. This is supposed to be the party of the people, right? The United States, greatest country in the world. And I believe that. I know a lot of people don't believe that. I believe this is the greatest country in the world. Are we perfect? No. I mean, hell no, nobody's perfect. No idea, no concept is ever truly perfect. But come on. You know, in other countries, these people would be shot, stoned to death. It's not even funny, the comparison. We have these ongoing protests, and it's, you know, and it's weird because the United States isn't directly involved. Like, we're not actively sending more troops to go fight over there. Like, Israel is a partner nation. We've supported them for decades, and people get upset, you know, free Palestine, whatever. And again, we see our democratic leadership. There's clips out there of people, chanting for free Palestine. And you see Kamala Harris show up at a rally and she starts dancing and fist pumping and everything. Like, it's insane, the world that we're living in right now. And of course, we are about we're about a month out, I think, maybe 5 weeks from the election. I think I've been saying 5 weeks for the last 2 weeks, so I don't know. I'll look it up, but we're very close to the November election date. And I remember the last election, I'll never forget the last election because I got sick with COVID on election night, and I feel like it was some karmic way that God was telling me that something bad was happening, and that I needed to be prepared and buckle up. You know, this podcast for the greater part of its existence is only run under that this Biden administration, because we started in mid 2020. So it's kind of funny in that regard, thinking back to election night that November and in 2019 and everything that's 2020 and everything that's passed since then, how the world has changed and how things are so much different now than what they were. And a lot of the stuff, it's crazy the way all of this stuff has become tied together. Like, even as I'm sitting here talking about it, one thing flows so fluidly into the next. At some point, some of it almost even starts to feel manufactured, the way it all ties together. And now we have, and I think it was Fox News. I saw a clip online. Senator Lindsey Graham, right? Republican, by the way, comes on the news. They're talking about, or they're trying to talk about the inaction, I suppose, of FEMA with this Hurricane Helene crisis. And he flips the script. Goes straight to, we need to talk about our friends in Israel who are under attack, and we need to help our friends, we need to give them more money and send them more weapons. And it's like, and it's crazy because this as a elected leader of the people, and I believe, and I'm gonna look it up right now because that's gonna bother me if I don't, I believe Lindsey Graham is I know he's a senator, but I believe it's for South Carolina. Yeah, South Carolina. So North Carolina, completely hammered right now by this hurricane. South Carolina probably got some damage and things. So he's in the region. That's my point. The guy's almost 70, by the way. So for any indication of how, like, with it he is, probably not, like, great. But at any rate, he calls for... He doesn't even talk about his own people in the Carolinas. They're impacted by the hurricane. Instead, he wants to talk about sending money and weapons to Israel. And now you see this coming through the news cycle, that now Netanyahu is calling out Western leaders because there's an arms embargo against Israel, because people don't want to give Israel any more guns. Because, of course, the woke agenda, which Western leadership is people like the Biden administration, a lot of the European countries, they've all fallen under that woke agenda. And in some places, in other countries in Europe, they've really taken it even a step further, which is crazy to think, but they've taken it a step further than what we have here in the United States, where people are being arrested and jailed for violations of what we consider to be free speech here. Social media platforms, you're having commentary. People are saying they don't want illegal immigrants in their country because of the catastrophic change that they carry with them. Things get really bad, like crime and the impact on the economy, which we're seeing and living every day here in the U.S. as our southern border is, just pouring in illegals. Like, half a million people at least, they've been added to the country and now are dispersed, and they're busing them. Oh, we can't just leave them concentrated in one area. We have to bus them up to northern states. And I think it's a total sham. It's a total plan to, I think, insulate these people in our country. And now you're seeing I think it's the DOJ bringing court cases and legal action against states and city municipalities and things like that for trying to make it illegal for non-residents, or not even non-residents, because I know we have to be careful with the terminology. There's a difference between, like, non-resident aliens and illegal aliens. So when we're talking about illegal aliens, these are undocumented people that aren't supposed to be here. It is very obvious that they should not be allowed to vote, right? And these municipalities, these cities, in some instances, these states, right, are taking measures, right, to ensure that these people cannot participate in our electoral system. They are not citizens. They don't pay into our tax system. They, for the most part, haven't really contributed to anything. They just have become, you know, a parasitic drain on our economy and the you know, quote unquote, the system. I keep saying the system here in the United States. You guys all know what I'm talking about, right? And our own government is fighting to make sure that they can. There was a bill that came up through Congress that could have blocked this, and that was the Democrats killed that bill. They made sure that these people can vote because they're working to try to find the most legal way they can, it seems, right, to rig the election by letting these people vote. I mean, you can take the whole conspiracy bit so far these days, and the shitty part is, like, as you start saying it out loud, none of it seems that shitty and far-fetched anymore. Ooh, I think that, you know, the two attempted hits on Donald Trump were orchestrated. And at first, probably been like, you're weird, dude. Like, stop it. That's a crazy person's take on this. Like, you're better than that. And then you sit and think about it. And you're like, hey, why was that news crew at the golf course just watching Trump whack some balls the day that the second guy took a swing at him? And it's like, huh, I don't know. Does anybody know? No, we have no idea. Oh, okay. Well, it must just be like a really odd coincidence that there's always a news crew. And maybe that is. I mean, I don't know. But you start to ask the questions. And that's just the way it goes. You know, and this election, it's going to be big. I do think, and this is what we should talk about. I mean, most of our time here is talking about what's going on with Hurricane Helene, the region being decimated. I think that the inaction by this administration will be a blow during the election. You see a lot of other stuff being introduced in the news cycle. You see a lot of excuses, really. Mayorkas is coming out. There's now like a compare video that I saw floating around where 3 months ago, oh, we are well funded in FEMA. This is what we do. This is what we specialize in. We're well funded. We are going to take care of anything that may come through. 3 months later, bam, monster hurricane comes through, trashes infrastructure, destroys homes, takes lives. Worst case scenario, President Biden interviewed on the tarmac, getting onto Air Force One, says we aren't going to send anything else. We have nothing else to send. And then people start doing their own digging because that's, you know, one of the brilliant parts of the internet and the Freedom of Information Act. And we realize that all of the money from FEMA, it's like $64 million or billion dollars or something like that, whatever their budget was. I want to say it was a billion because it was an alarming number, but it could be a million. I remember it was 64. Was all put towards illegal alien programs. So the money that's supposed to be earmarked for the federal agency for emergency management, right? That is, and we've talked about this before. We had a great couple discussions with Trey talking about disaster relief work and things, right? So FEMA is supposed to be there to help coordinate, and yes, there's supposed to be the funding for said coordination and efforts and resources and supplies and yada yada, right? This money is supposed to be there so that when things like this happen, and they happen every year, you know, like we hurricanes happen. That's just part of, you know, weather patterns and life in the Southeast continental U.S., right? And, okay, there's no money, though. There's no money. And what makes it worse is, as this is going on, Kamala Harris is not commenting. She is not visiting the area. She is not doing anything to help. Instead, she's going on, you know, podcasts and giggling and avoiding questions on interviews. You know, Donald Trump's at least focused on it, at least acknowledging it in his press conferences. The more upsetting part is honestly just the fact that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, who, I mean, people want to make the excuse, well, she's just the vice president. The vice president's the second highest seat in the country. Like, that's, our nation has one leader and then a leader right below them, the vice president. So you're going to tell me that they have no power to do anything? None whatsoever. Especially in an administration where the head of the country, the president, is a bumbling old man who probably can't remember to wipe his mouth. You're telling me she is not responsible? She's not to be held liable for any of this? I don't buy that. Oh, and while I'm thinking of that, I just want to segue here for just a quick second. It was very funny. We are now at the end of Joe Biden's single term as president. We can say that, single term. He's not going to run again, right? He's a one-term president. He finally had his first press briefing We are, it's, so it was probably, I think it fell in either end of September or beginning of October. He had his first press briefing and it went terribly. I highly encourage you guys to look up the videos. But getting back to the hurricane relief stuff, there are a lot of people, and this is what shows you, like when I talked a moment ago about this being the greatest country, with, and we have the greatest people in this country, right? People are driving from states all over to, they're taking time off work to go provide relief effort. People are starting GoFundMe pages to raise money, and people are collecting and donating supplies. And again, Trey's been on a couple times. It's a T-Bomb08 on Instagram, if you guys aren't following him, collecting oxygen tanks for rescue efforts and things. And I think he put up a post that his brother-in-law put together like a huge package of like diabetes supplies and things. And these are all somewhat, we would think about this as like somewhat trivial. Like, oh, yeah, I mean, diet, I mean, it's your medicine, whatever. but think about this. The entire infrastructure in some of these areas was wiped out, meaning that there is no CVS. There is no Walgreens. There is no, you know, Costco pharmacy to go get supplies, and that which it has been left has probably been hoarded, raided, stolen. You know, things are bad. We have these people, our fellow citizens, going out of their way. People, private citizens that own private aircraft. There's videos of this all over Instagram that are airdropping supplies into areas, that are flying supplies and flying people in and out nonstop. They're donating their own helicopters and fuel. And then you have administrative people. They're building base camps in like businesses, auto shops. I think was one of them was an auto shop. It had several rolled garage doors. So I think it was an auto shop of some variety. And that's their base of operations. They got whiteboards. They've got radios. They're, you know, they're making it happen to help their fellow man. And now you have, and here's what kills me about this, is I found a post from Ian Strembeck at Rune Nation. He shared it, and his post was just sharing this original post to tell you that nobody's coming to save you, right? Which is something that Ian preaches a lot in his classes, because you have to be your own first responder. No one's coming to save you. You have to be that person. You have to be equipped and capable and confident and collected enough in moments of crisis, right, to respond accordingly and react in a way which is going to benefit you and your family, right? Not be a detriment to them, right? So I shared this post that Ian had basically shared and added his thoughts to, that I think it's a NORAM was put up by the FAA, and that basically is a no-fly order for that area in North Carolina, unless approved by the FAA. And I immediately, what's great, because I did this at like 1:30 in the morning, it was after I got back from CQB practice. Shout out to Battlefield CQB. If you guys are in the Southeast Michigan area, go check them out. Thursday nights we do CQB practice, but the rest of the time, if you're looking for armor and ammo, they sell that stuff as a laser tag facility. It's cool to see it. They sell that. They're a distributor for a lot of things. You guys can check them out. But back to the point here. I got home and immediately after I posted on Facebook, and this is how stupid people are. Immediately at 1:30 in the morning, I get somebody who lives here in Michigan with me, so it's not like they're in another time zone, who comments, and I'm paraphrasing, "Austin, I usually let you go ahead and post whatever you like. Like, I need their permission, right? I need their permission and approval to post to fucking social media, because that's how this fucking works, right? Because some random idiot who doesn't even have a real job is going to come and fact check me and post a link to I believe it's the FAA website or something that says, this is complete false. This is not a thing at all. There's nothing, blah, blah, blah. This isn't true. Okay. So I delete the comment because I'm like, don't care. And then I did a couple Google searches of my own and I found the NORAM order. It was in effect. It's true. It's a thing. And there are people who are on the ground there that have confirmed this. I've also now been seeing and hearing stuff, and I don't know how true this is, but I've heard stories from folks of this happening in other crisis situations in other parts of the country, not like right now, but in the past, is that FEMA is now interjecting and actually confiscating supplies, basically stealing supplies and hoarding them, in some instances possibly even destroying supplies, which I don't know why. I have no idea why they would be doing that, but apparently that is something that's going on right now. Sorry, guys. So let's let's reevaluate that from a high level really quick, is that not only is our government not providing support to its citizens, not only did they take the money which was gathered from the citizens through taxpayer dollars, right? We pay like 40% in taxes, right? We don't need to belabor that point, but we all know that we pay way too fucking much in taxes in this country. And that money is supposed to be taken from us to fund government agencies, government projects, efforts, right, for the overall general welfare, if you will, of our country. Now, some of us benefit from these programs and packages more than others, and I really don't want to make this a discussion about government mismanagement and misappropriation of funds, although we could definitely do that and it would probably be hilarious. But you pay into it, right? And so this money then is supposed to be there for these agencies like FEMA. That's the expectation. Hey, when we get ravaged with like world shifting weather, and that's to say nothing of like global warming and all the weird shit that like Al Gore and those people on that side of the aisle scream about and everything. But when these things happen, there is a level of expectation that as the government at the state and federal levels, you are able to respond with the National Guard, with FEMA, with aid organizations, the Red Cross, blah, 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 right? The list goes on. There is, I would say, a reasonable expectation of response. Now, you can say that and still, and that can still be true while also acknowledging that you have to be your own first responder. Like, hey, this is why things matter. This is why understanding if you live in a flood basin, how to address that, or this is why having a stockpile of things like medical supplies and common medicines like ibuprofen and cough syrup or whatever, right? That's important. Hey, having dry storage of food for a couple weeks, right? Maybe a month or two. This is why this is a really good idea, is because when these kinds of things happen, you don't need to rely outwardly on other people, other places, or the government, God forbid, to take care of you, to provide, you know, common necessities for life. Things like clean or potable drinking water, things like fucking toilet paper of all things, or hygiene products like soap or, female products, detergent, you know, wash your clothes and stuff like that. Because in these kinds of situations, hygiene becomes a really, really big issue that leads to a lot of problems down, not immediate issues, right? But as things do not get better, right, hygiene does become a greater concern. Things like toothpaste, even toothbrushes, things, you know, deodorant, stuff that we don't think of and take for granted becomes things that are insanely valuable in times like this. So having these kinds of things set aside on your own is, it really does behoove you, especially if you live in those kinds of areas and environments, you know, and it's a pro and con. We talk about a little bit anyways, like I live here in Michigan. We don't really get hurt. We don't get hurricanes. We get some gnarly weather. We get some shitty winters up here sometimes, and it is not great to drive on the roads with the snow and the ice sometimes, but we don't get hurricanes. Now, conversely, North Carolina doesn't really get ice storms like we do, and they really don't see, you know, below zero wind chill the way that we do here in Michigan. It's just, it's pros and cons, you know, pros and cons. That's one of the reasons why I would never live down there. I understand that everybody can just say, hey, I'm going to pick up and move because I don't want to live, like, I mean, I guess you could, but I'm not going to sit here and say that's what we need to talk about because it's too late, you know, crying over spilled milk and whatnot. But at any rate, so these are ongoing efforts. I've seen now there's a couple different, even like I'll say influential personalities like Mitch from Agonic, who Mitch has been on the podcast here. You guys have seen him a bunch with 30 Civilian. I saw several posts that he's packing up a trailer full of supplies and goods and things to take to the people in North Carolina. They're in Tennessee, which is a neighboring state, right? Jeez, I apologize again, you guys. You have people like Tacos Media. Tacos Media, Tyler, was at the HTA Range Day event that was at in Pennsylvania just a couple weekends ago and is down in North Carolina rendering aid and helping to, you know, there's some crazy video and photo footage he's got driving on what aren't really roads. Along, you know, roads that have collapsed or sank into a river or are now submerged. It's just absolutely wild when you think about how dramatic or how drastically our infrastructure and things can shift in, you know, a blink of an eye, basically. I mean, you know, the hurricane wasn't that, it's not that quick to roll through. It's usually a couple hours. But I mean, relative to everything else, the cleanup efforts, and I mean, for families and individuals or anyone, really, pets impacted by this, this is not going to be a quick cleanup. This is going to take years of fixing this. And I mean, it is awful. You know, I saw a picture floating around somewhere down on Instagram. Someone shared it, says the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was a life raft floating down a, what is essentially a river because of the flooding, right? And it's of a little girl, could not be older than 4, I think. And I mean, visibly crying, holding her puppy. Soaked, the dog is just soaked to the bone, right, between the rain and the flood water and everything. She's got a life vest on, she's holding this puppy, holding on for dear life, and the dog looks scared as hell. Who can blame either one of them? And it's just, it's this just horrible representation of how bad things are for those people and the conditions that they're living in. And to know that we had the resources and we had the ability to help those people. As a country, we did. We agree with it or not, we paid the taxes, we saved the money, we budgeted, we planned to have this money there and available to help these people when this inevitably happens, because hurricanes happen all the time, right? We talked about that. And then to know, right, not even to find out, but to know that this administration and Kamala Harris, right, and she, because and here's why it keeps going back to her. She's the one fucking running for president for that party. And she's part of the, it's not like she's not part of what's going on. She is complicit in this. She is part of the administration currently in office. She got 0 votes to become the Democratic presidential nominee. She has been awful in all of her interviews. She's tone deaf. She's morally flexible to a degree, which I don't think that even that anyone should be. And her decisions, because she was the border czar, she was. She's been in charge of the immigration issues. And even if you say, well, we'll prove it, whatever. I mean, well, Joe Biden hasn't done anything. How can you look at it and say that it's Biden's fault? He can't remember what he had for fucking lunch. And she's the one who is, further to the point, campaigning on the promises of, I have a plan to fix this country. I came from the middle class. I'm going to make this better. I'm going to cut taxes. And it's like, no, you're not going to do any of those things. Because if you could, you would have already. You and the president would have worked to do those things already. And ironically, you're sitting here as a Democrat promising to cut middle-class taxes, and historically, Democrats just raise taxes. Oh, we need more government spending, right? And that's why our taxes always go up when we have Democrat presidents, and then, you know, all the liberals lose their mind and throw a fit and go, what's the answer, cutting taxes? Yeah, the answer is cutting taxes. That's why with Donald Trump, we saw record tax cuts, which led to the lowest inflation that we've ever seen in this country. What causes inflation? I saw a great video on this. Super, super simplified explanation of what causes inflation. Inflation is driven by government spending. It is, because it devalues the shit out of the dollar. And what have we had more in the last 4 years than anything else? Government spending. All of that money that has gone to Ukraine. Here's another one. How about all of the stimulus money that was doled out during COVID? And I know everybody was about the free money. Like, I get it. And you didn't have to pay it back. And like, cool. And, you know, hopefully you guys did something good with it. Can't go back and change it now. I bought armor and a helmet and an optic. And then I remodeled a bathroom. Like, I tried to be, there were some people that went out and tried and put it down as a down payment on a new car that they couldn't afford. And because I work in finance at the time, I was supporting some auto finance folks, and we're getting on weekly calls going, you know, these dealerships, they don't have any Chargers, and no Dodge Chargers, and no Challengers, because people were, you know, it was this internet sensation, people like on the Lodge freeway, stopping traffic to sit there and do burnouts, because during COVID, when everyone had a bunch of free time and a bunch of government money, that's what they fucking did. So they put all this money out there, pushed out all this money. We're going to send billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. And then, oh, oops, the Pentagon, which is supposed to be filled with some of the smartest people in the world, right, in our country, if nothing else, and they miscalculate the accounting and the budget. And, ooh, we gave them an extra $12 billion on accident. Oh, well, shit, okay. And then we will give them more. And it's like, and that number could be wrong, but we have had accounting errors in the billions. I want to say it was 12. And then we just gave them more. We give them all this money. Where is this money coming from? It's coming from you and your wife and me and your brother and your friends and your parents. And you're, if you're older and you're listening to this, possibly your kids, anybody that pays into the tax system, that's where all this money's coming from. And because the government is spending at historic levels, it just, oh, we're just going to spend money, spend money, spend money. Well, and that's why it actually makes it hilarious that we finally reached the point of we have nothing left. We have no money left to spend. I'm sorry. And it's not to, and that conversation is not over something like foreign aid to some country that we really don't need to, you know, we just sent like $157 million to like Lebanon or something. It's nothing like that. It's not a foreign aid package. It's not some weird infrastructure problem or, you know, gay rights or something. Nope. It is actual disaster relief. People's livelihoods and health and safety are at stake. And this is when we decide that we're going to draw that line. Nope, banks closed now. We're out of money now. We weren't out of money before. How about that $43 billion that Kamala Harris received to bring internet to poor and disenfranchised neighborhoods? Oh, we're going to bring the internet to everybody. Everyone deserves internet. And I don't disagree with that. It's 2024. The internet is the way that the world works. Everything runs online. I get that. Everybody should have access to the internet. It was a luxury when I was growing up. When it was in its infancy, it was something that not everybody had at home, right? But now it's a standard. You know, everything's online. You pay your, you know, parking tickets online. You do everything online. Tickets for events, like the concert I said I went to, that those are all digital. They're all online. Excuse me, guys. So I get that. But to take $43 billion with a B and nobody got internet, and not like we only had a couple thousand or you know, we only had 10,000 people. Nobody got internet. What the fuck happened to all that money? Where did it go? Did we ever audit it? Was anyone ever held? Did anyone lose their job for it? Get demoted? Where did all of it go? I mean, it's a ton of money. So when you look at the issues that we're facing right now and the gross mismanagement that we're tolerating, basically, we're tolerating it. We don't really have a choice. The government's the government right now. Now, this is why, you know, and I'll bring this back around to one of my favorite points to make, which is going to upset a bunch of you tremendously, is that you have to get out and vote. You have to vote. I don't care if you're upset but you think, oh, this is the best we can do is bolt these people and they fucking suck. Yeah, you know what? It is. It is what it is. We can't get away from it right now. We can't. You can only make a choice which is going to put you in a better position for the next 4 years so that the next time around when hopefully, I mean, one of them for sure can't run again unless they lose this time somehow, but what's going to make things better? Doesn't matter if you like Donald Trump, if you think he's an asshole, whatever. Look at the state of our country when he was in office. Look at the state of geopolitical politics. Geopolitical politics. I said that the last time I recorded too, I think. Look at the geopolitical stage. Look at the impacts. Look at everything. Look at how good things were from 2016 to 2020. Look at that. And then look at how things have been the last 4 years. Can you afford to live right now? Think about that. There's people, my mother works for an insurance company. She was telling us there are people that could not afford their home insurance in North Carolina. And now they just lost their home. They're completely fucked. And it's a lot of this, you know, their insurance companies, premiums are through the roof. Rates on loans, borrowing money is more expensive. Why? Because the economy's in the shitter. Why? Because inflation is through the roof. So why does it cost more to borrow money? Because the money is worth less. So the banks that lend you the money have to charge you more to make it up because that dollar is worth less. That's why loan rates were at all-time lows with Donald Trump, is because the dollar was at one of its strongest points in history. So yes, borrowing rates here in the country were really, really fucking low. And people can bitch and moan, oh, I remember when my savings account rate was better. Like, okay, cool. So interest rates are low. So maybe you got to work a little bit harder to make your money instead of just putting it in the bank and watch it work for you. Like, you can't have it all. But low interest rates on your savings account didn't stop you from enjoying a certain quality of life. The market performed well. Groceries were available and plentiful. And other foreign powers were not, you know, getting ready to kick off wars and shit every 6 months because they knew the United States was basically not going to do anything. And that's exactly what we have now. There's a new conflict kicking off, you know, every 4 to 6 months right now, and we don't do anything. And I'm not saying that we should get involved in every conflict. I've actually gone on record and said I don't think that we should. However, there's a certain power, a certain impact, if you will, right? To just knowing that we're sitting on the bench, we're sitting on the sidelines as a country to all these things, right? And if something dumb happens that we could intervene. It's like how your parents, you know, parented you and you could go steal some gum at the grocery store because you want it. But then you thought about it. You're like, well, you know, I did that one time and my dad beat my ass for stealing because he's not raising a thief. And that sucked. I really didn't enjoy that. That belt hurts. So, you know what? I'm just not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same damn thing. So, having a strong leader with a strong foreign policy and a strong agenda, I mean, and Trump has been on the record pretty consistently saying, we're going to address the border issue immediately. We're going to fix the economy. He's gone on the record, and there's actually there's a great video clip of him standing next to Zelensky talking about ending the war and stop sending them money. And you can see how visibly upset and uncomfortable Zelensky is during all of that when Trump and him were both in Pennsylvania. And this is just a couple weeks back. It's awesome. Because you can just tell, every time Zelensky comes for a visit, he wears the same military-style clothing to make it look like he's out there fighting a war. Like, he's the fucking president of the Ukraine. He is not fighting a war. He is dressing that way to try and draw sympathy votes, and that's already happened. I'll never get over it. Like, flying the Ukrainian flag in the Houses of Congress here in the United States instead in lieu of a United States flag because they need our money. Never, ever do you do that. Do we go to any other country and see them fly the American flag instead of their own? No. This is this woke bullshit where it's so ridiculous, and we don't need to get into it. I'm getting way aside from the point. Guys, there's a lot going on. It's going to be really interesting. And the next one of these, I think I do, will be leading up to the election, the beginning of November. And we'll have a lot to talk about. You know, it's going to be very interesting the next couple months as we get into what's going to happen, what has happened. December, you know, we break down who won, who lost. Like, that's all really, really important shit. And actually, general elections Tuesday, November 5th. So we are exactly a month away. Holy shit. It's getting really real, guys. I encourage everyone while you're listening to this to look up your local, your state level elections. Anything that's going to be on the ballot next month, look up those people. Make a list. Hey, I'm voting for this person, this person, this person. You can't take it with you, but if you can memorize it, because sometimes it gets overwhelming with what's on the ballot. Make your vote count. Even if you're somebody you've never voted before, you don't vote often, you really don't love either candidate, pick one. You know, I urge, and if you're listening to this podcast, I would think anyways, you're probably going to vote for Donald Trump. I would think so. Harris, from coming for your guns, to destroying the economy, to, promoting some just dangerous lifestyles, No. Everything about her is a sham. As a prosecutor, she let people off, gang members, rapists, murderers. Like, she chases a career, she chases accolades, and not to mention she can't answer any questions. Like, seriously, she gets asked questions, she starts laughing like an idiot, talks about how she came from a Midwestern family, talks about how she didn't sleep when Joe Biden told her he wasn't running again. And then after like a day or two or three of not sleeping, she just got up and started cooking for her family. And also those stories change every time she answers that question for a different media outlet. She's a liar as if as there ever was a liar. And I mean, you could say that of most politicians, but at least most of them have the courtesy to at least keep the story straight. It's terrible. And I mean, kind of as we wrap here, I mean, obviously thoughts, prayers, so many prayers with the people in North Carolina living through that hell right now. I hope the efforts continue. I hope the efforts hold up. If you guys are able to donate, if you're able to contribute in any way, please do. I know there's several people out there sharing outlets and GoFundMes and things. Again, check out Tacos Media. You can, if you need more information, there's people that are, you know, out there doing that stuff. Mitch from Agonic, again, you guys can reach out to, I'm sure you could try to get a hold of him and he would probably be very happy to direct you that way. T-Bomb08, that's Trey. Trey's been on a couple different times, again, talking about disaster relief. If this all is very concerning, go back and listen to that second episode we did with Trey a while back. And maybe we'll get another one going soon. I don't know. There's a lot of information there, and it's very heavy, and it's very real. And if you're talking about being able to help or be prepared to help support your community in those times of crisis, what you can do with the gear you have, so night vision and comms and things like that, yes, even your rifles. Trey tells that story in discussions we had where they protected their community from looters. People were coming through looking to take what was left from people who'd already lost everything. Yeah, that's all I got for you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out and listening this week. I try to make sure that I do these, and this one was a little bit less organized, but I kind of like it, you know. It's from the heart. You know, I kind of like everything rolls together. I'm very passionate about a lot of this stuff. It's very upsetting to me that you can start to link all of these ideas and all these problems. You can link them together. And it flows, like I said earlier, just so fluidly. It's ridiculous. And it needs to be addressed. Thank you guys. Hope everyone enjoys their weekend. Spend time with your family. Get outside. Touch grass. Praise God. All those good things. But be safe out there, everyone. And until next time, like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.